Well, good evening, everyone. We do give you a very warm welcome to our carol service tonight. Thank you for coming and joining with us, and we trust as we meet together, we'll know the blessing of God. If you're from one of the three Presbyterian churches here in the Huckle, we extend to you a warm welcome, and if you're visiting from further afield, well, then we especially welcome you in the Lord's name tonight. Do please wait behind for refreshments, which will be served in our hall after the service. Our hall's just through to my right here. And when you go into the hall, we would ask that you keep moving right to the top of the hall. Okay, so keep moving up. Take a little sort of like wee horseshoes, sit in there, and then the tea will be served to you this evening. You'll see all the cups and so on. But that would really, really help for the logistics afterwards if you just keep moving right through into the hall. Can also say, just by way of what's happening this evening for the children here with us, Children's Church, that'll happen later on when we sing the first Noel hymn. The offering will be received, and then when the congregation come to stand after part of that, the boys and girls can leave for Children's Church. But hopefully a reminder of that will come up on the screen. But just in case you think, oh, we're not going to get out tonight, but you will, all right? So that'll be later on in the service. Special word of thanks then to Margaret and the choir, and for all those folk who will be taking part tonight. We trust and pray that you will know God's goodness and blessing and encouragement as you lead us tonight. The service is going to run unannounced, and so just now Winifred's going to come and set the scene for us as we worship our God this evening. Thank you, Winifred.
Genesis 3, verses 4 to 15. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed among all, more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise her head, and you shall bruise his heel."
With a mingled hope and fear. This is the word of the Lord. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Amen.
Thank you. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which is just as they had been told.
New, and heaven is filled with light. We Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Mark 6, verses 1 to 6. Then Jesus went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And with what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching.
Are you sung out yet, choir? Thank you so much for your ministry this evening. Thank you to Margaret. And I want to say thank you sincerely to those who are reading the scriptures, to Winifred, Aris, Julie, Pauline, and Bertie. Thank you for doing that for us. And for the combined effort this evening, thank you so much. We trust that your heart has been blessed as much as my heart has been as we have listened to God's word in song. I wanted you to turn back, if you have a Bible, to one of the readings Pauline read a few minutes ago from Luke chapter 2. And you can see on the screen, we're focusing in that thought that there was no room. The choir has been reminding us of that in song. And we want to think about that just for a few closing moments this evening. So with God's word before us, Let us bow in a word of prayer. Father, we do want to say thank you for being with us this evening. We want to say thank you for the sense of your presence here in our meeting house. Thank you and praise you for our choir and for those who are gifted musically. And we thank you, Lord, for all the way that they have been leading us tonight, reminding us of how sin entered the world, reminding us of a Savior that was foretold to come from Bethlehem, reminding us of the angels who announced the news, and reminding us that there was no room for Jesus. And we pray, O Father, that those messages and song would indeed resonate within our hearts and within our lives. But we pray that as we would come just to consider your word now, that Lord, that you'll come, that you'll speak on into our hearts and lives, and that we would hear the voice of God. We look to you as ever, Lord, for that help. We look to you as ever for the anointing of the word of God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry, there's no more room. We're fully booked. I still remember hearing those disappointing words. We hadn't long moved here to Hockle. People had talked about the Millside Restaurant in Grace Hill, and off we went, not realizing we probably would have needed to book a table. And one of the staff said to us, "Sorry, no room." And we had to turn on our heels and come back home, probably the beans on toast. I'm not too sure what it was. No room. You've all had that experience. You've all had that time where you've wanted to go somewhere or be somewhere. You've maybe thought, I'll go to that particular place, only discover that there was no more room. Early in the service, the choir were singing the piece, "There Was No Room in Bethlehem." And the words are worth repeating for us tonight. Some of those lyrics were saying, "There was no room in Bethlehem for him who left his throne to seek the lost at countless cost and make their griefs his home. There was no room in Bethlehem for Christ, the Prince of Heaven, came down to earth in human birth that man might be forgiven." And when I thought about there being no room in Bethlehem, my mind turned immediately to the innkeeper. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 7 we read, "And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." The Bible doesn't mention the man explicitly, and it's most likely by the time the story of the birth of Jesus came into writing, no one even remembered who the innkeeper was. Indeed, there was no real reason to remember him, but we believe he existed. There can be no doubt that there was an inn, and this surely implies the existence of an innkeeper. And in the hustle and the bustle of all that was going on in Bethlehem, the innkeeper missed the most important birth in history. And he declared that there was no room in his inn. Of course, he shouldn't have missed it because, quite literally, it happened on his doorstep. But missed it, he did. The opening verses of Luke chapter 2 inform us that the Emperor Caesar Augustus issued a decree that everyone had to return to their own home. And the result of that, Mary and Joseph made that long journey to Bethlehem. Of course, many others had also returned to Bethlehem, and the little town was packed out. We can only imagine the distress for young Mary. The baby was on the way and they couldn't find a room anywhere. We don't know how many inns they inquired for a room. We don't know if Joseph, in the midst of all that was happening in the panic that the baby was on the way, did he lose his temper? We don't know. We don't know if Mary then was in floods of tears. We don't know if her waters had broken or the contractions had started when they were pleading to this unnamed innkeeper. However, we do know that he allowed them to go into the stable, and that's where God's one and only Son was born. Almost right under the nose of the innkeeper, and yet he missed it. He missed it. He was too busy that first Christmas time making money with the influx of visitors to be concerned with this poor couple who had traveled from Nazareth. His preoccupation with his business meant that he missed that first Christmas. Sadly, the innkeeper in Bethlehem didn't make room for Jesus. Yes, the birth of Jesus was over 2,000 years ago, and in our day and generation, we don't have innkeepers as such. But nevertheless, I believe there are people who are like that very innkeeper. What do I mean by that? Well, I believe there are people who have become so materialistic that they miss out on the true meaning of Christmas. It could be that their business means more to them than Christ. It could be their home, and it's almost become an idol. It could be the frenetic activity of dinners and trees and tinsel and turkey. And the truth is, they make time and room for so many things at Christmas, but unfortunately, they have no room for Jesus. And they leave him out in the cold. And I believe there's a great challenge and a fresh message here for every Christian gathered at this service tonight. Sadly, feverish materialism has gripped the hearts of many of God's people. What is materialism, you might ask? Well, here's a good definition. Materialism is a tendency to think material objects are more important than people, desire for money over ethics. There are those who know Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, and yet the sad truth is that many seem to be following the Lord, but following Him afar off. They are driven not by God, but the desire to have more material objects or money. And what they give to God, whether that's their time, their talents, even their finance, is being squeezed. And so if you know and love the Lord tonight, let me ask you just to think back over the past year. Let me ask you, how often have you attended a Sunday evening service? How often have you attended a midweek meeting? How often have you attended a corporate prayer meeting? Oh no, maybe as you think back further than just last year, you can remember how those things used to be so important to you. But why is that not the case anymore? I wonder for one this evening, is there a subtle coldness that has crept into your heart? Is there a careless attitude about how you live out your Christian life? Is the busyness and the demands of this world simply squeezing God right out of your life? Oh, you don't mean for it to be like that. But sadly, that's the reality of your life. You didn't set out to stop reading the Bible, but you missed it a day, and then you missed it a second day, and before you knew it, you'd missed it a week. And maybe the truth is that you seldom, if ever, read God's Word. Your prayer life, which was once a priority, maybe it's gone to the dogs. And you find that you really only think about praying when you find that you're in a tight spot and in trouble. Well, let me ask you a very poignant question this evening, a very direct question this evening. If you knew that this Christmas was going to be your final Christmas, would you do things differently? If you knew that in 2020 your life would be over, would you make changes in how you're living? Would your priorities change before God? And yet the stark reality is, for any of us, this could be our final Christmas. If for whatever reason that coldness has crept in, if for whatever reason you're not going on with God the way you were going on last year or the previous year or 10 years ago or when you were first converted, if things are not how they once were, then let me urge you to have that fire rekindled in your heart. Because as believers, we're living in a dark world. We're living in a society that's so far removed from the things of God. And therefore, as God's people, we need to burn brightly for Christ this Christmas and into a new year. Don't be like the innkeeper who was so close but yet missed out. But maybe as this Christmas approaches, there's some in this gathering who are still not saved. Yes, like the innkeeper, you're maybe even close to discovering Jesus. He's right under your nose, as it were. But you allow all those other things to press in you and then to push Jesus into the background. And how sad if you missed out on Jesus. How sad to be close to the kingdom and yet not in the kingdom. Neil Maxwell has written a book with an intriguing title. The title is, Each of Us is an Innkeeper Who Decides If There Is Room for Jesus. And that begs the question for every person in this gathering tonight. The question is, have you, as an individual, have you made room for Jesus? And right now, God bids you to repent of your sin, to come to Him. Will you do that this evening? If you've never done it, will you make room for Jesus? Will you do that as you sit in your pew? Please don't miss out on Christ this Christmas. But maybe there's one here tonight, and as you think back over 2019, you can recall occasions when you felt as if God was really speaking to you. Maybe it was at a morning service in Brookside, or First, or here in Trinity, or in whatever place that you worship. It could have been at one of our joint evening services. Possibly even it was at a funeral service throughout the past year or one of our harvest services. And you can still recall that. You can still recall that God spoke to you, God challenged you. But the bottom line is, as this year is almost drawing to the close, you still don't have room for Jesus. And the awful tragedy is that you're still outside God's kingdom. As I was preparing for this evening, I was thinking, this is my final evening service that I'll preach at in Trinity this year. It's the final evening service that I'll preach at this decade. And with that in mind, I want to warn you that if you die without making room for Jesus, if you die without repenting of your sin, then, my friend, there will be no room for you in heaven. So often when someone dies, I hear the phrase, well, all his suffering is over now. All his suffering's over now. I know that's wonderfully true if the person was saved. But oh, if they have died outside of Christ, then their suffering, their torment is just about to start in that awful, that terrible place called hell. As 2019 draws to a close, the stark reality is that I've conducted 12 funerals this year. I'm not sure how many funerals Mark and William have conducted. And as I think back on that, some of those people who died, they died in the Lord and they're now rejoicing in his presence. But for others, well, I don't know if they ever got right with God. And the sad thing is that if they died without Christ, then it's too late. It's too late. If they didn't make room for Jesus in this life, there will be no room for them in heaven. But rather they will hear those awful words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Never mind those who have died. What about you? What about you? If your life were to suddenly come to an end, would it be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Or would you be cast from his presence for all eternity? Friend, I can't stress this evening how serious this matter is. I can't stress enough how urgent this matter is. And so I trust that you wouldn't let this decade, this year, this month, this day end without getting right with God. Let me take you back once more to the piece that the choir sang earlier. There was no room in Bethlehem, but there was room at Calvary, upon a cross of shame for him to die, uplifted high and bear the sinner's shame. There was no room in Bethlehem, but there was room at Calvary, and there he stands to give a home to all who heed his call and look to him and live. There was no room in Bethlehem, but there was room at Calvary for sinners to abide, and all who come will find a home in Jesus crucified. There was no room in Bethlehem. But let me conclude by simply asking, will you make room for Jesus tonight? May it be so for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gospel message. It doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to baffle anyone. We thank you that it's clear in the scriptures. And we thank you for your amazing plan for mankind. We've been thinking about that through all of our readings tonight. We thank you that you planned right from the beginning that you would send the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that he was willing to come and that he was willing to pay the price for our sin. And we thank you, Father, that your word reminds us that you continue to build your kingdom. And we would be bold enough to pray that you might even build it further tonight. The Lord, that those who have come in to this carol service, maybe not even thinking about getting right with Christ, but you've been maybe speaking into their lives. You've been reminding of things even from years ago. We pray that this might be the night that they might make room for Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray that they might indeed grasp the urgency of the hour and come to you this evening. And we do pray, Lord, for every believer here tonight, that, oh, Father, that you would forgive us. Forgive us when our priorities are all wrong. Forgive us, oh God, when we have allowed the world to squeeze us into its mold. Forgive us, oh God, when we are part of all the frenetic activity based around Christmas and somehow Christ is being squeezed out of the picture. We pray, oh Father, that you would help us then to burn brightly for you, to show those around us that we have a Savior who can make all the difference in the world to them. So would you write even this simple message upon our hearts and our lives this evening? We pray it all in the Savior's glorious name. Amen. Can I also remind you that next Sunday evening, the carol service will be in Brookside, same time, 6:15. And so we trust and pray that you might make it along to Brookside this evening. Before we conclude with our closing carol, Jane's going to come and bring a solo entitled A Christmas Blessing. Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Jim. We're going to conclude with our closing carol. Appropriately, we're going to sing No Room for the Saviour at Bethlehem's Inn. Let's stand together as we worship God. Maybe you've realized tonight that God has been knocking on your door. Maybe you realize that for too long you've been saying no room. Don't leave it any longer. Don't let it pass by. And if I can be of any help to you, showing you from the scriptures how Jesus can be yours, then may you even speak to me at the close of the service. Remind you that we're having refreshments through in the hall. Reminding you that when you go in, move right to the end of the hall, or else I'll get in trouble. And then the servers will come to you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your presence with us. And we do pray, Lord, that you would bless those refreshments to us. Make us thankful for all that you've given to us. But more than anything, Lord, may each of us make room for Jesus. So, Lord, may you part us with grace, mercy, and peace, for we ask it all in the Savior's wonderful name. Amen.